welcome to a Blissfully Balanced Life podcast, the perfect place for busy women looking to make their health a priority. I am your host, Crystal Ray, and I am a certified health coach, fitness coach, and Reiki healer. And on this podcast, I am bringing experts to share with you their insights to really help you take your health to the next level. And I'll also be sharing with you tidbits from my own personal journey. I am so excited you are here, and let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of A Blissfully Balanced Life. I am so excited that you are here today because I have a very special guest, and his name is Wade, and I'm just going to pass it over to him and let him introduce himself because he is truly amazing.
Thanks so much. Well, you know, it's kind of, I'll give you a little background on your listeners. So my name's Wade Lightheart. I was a Canadian kid that grew up very ordinary kind of life, you know, playing hockey and all those kind of crazy things. And then when I was 15 years old, I had three transformative things happen to me. One was my parents moved to a very rural part of Canada. So it's just a little north of, or north and east of Maine. And it was 5 miles to my nearest neighbor. So I lived in the middle of the woods where the telephone poles end.
Oh my goodness.
So I had a lot of time to think about a lot of things and work out and get into exercise and things like that. But what was interesting about that is the second thing that happens, my sister, who was 4 years my senior, was diagnosed with cancer at that time. And I watched her go through 4 years of the medical model until she died at the early age of 22, which had a huge impact on me, my family, and probably set the course for my life and my mission to kind of help people move forward, because I recognized a couple things at a very early age. Number one, your health isn't a guarantee. Life isn't a guarantee. And that you better figure, if you get inside the medical model, it's great for acute care, but it doesn't seem to have a long-term care. And so that really had an impression on me, led me to study exercise physiology at the University of New Brunswick and go on to a career in bodybuilding and fitness, which culminated with the Mr. Universe contest, which afterwards I went from the Mr. Universe to Mr. Marshmallow. I literally gained 42 pounds of fat and water in 11 weeks because of all the stress, all the training, a performance-based diet that wasn't a health-based diet. And that led me to find a doctor, rebuild my body from the inside out, and to kind of get on the mission for the last 15 years to help other people transform their lives, overcome the challenges of what I call modern society.
Oh my goodness, there's so many things that you have done. And so many things that I want to talk with you about, but it's funny. I was watching a video recently of Christian Guzman and how he basically gains like 30 pounds in what, like, I think like 3 weeks post competition. It's just so wild. And as somebody like, so I had competed back in 2016, and it's just kind of like, it's really crazy what we do to our bodies when we compete and like what that stress does and what happens and the post competition feels.
Well, I think it's deeper. That you're right. And it's deeper than that and relative to everybody, because some people might say, well, I'm not competing or whatever, but I would say it all encompasses on what I call the cosmetic fitness industry. And what I mean by that in, you know, bodybuilding or fitness or bikini, or if you just want to quote unquote look good, which is what is promoted through virtually all social media, all magazines, all the cosmetic industry, the fashion industry, all of these typical things that generate a lot of revenue and a lot of business. It's all about what you look like on the outside. And most of the avatars, if you will, the influencers, the people that we kind of idolize and look at or aspire to look like, what we don't know is what's going on behind the scenes. And the reality is this. Many of those people who are, you know, attempting to look a certain way for a particular marketing image are oftentimes compromising their internal health unknowingly. And so what I discovered in my own journey is that there's a big difference between a performance diet or performance-based lifestyle and a health-based lifestyle. And if a person doesn't grasp that concept early on, they will inevitably be tired, burned out, overstressed out. They'll have hormonal issues, weight gain, and they'll be sitting there going, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I can't figure this out. Why do I seem to be different? And it's because you don't know the story behind the people who are featured in front of the camera.
Yeah. Totally something to really think about, you know? And so if I'm new to all of this, let's say I have no idea the difference between a performance-based diet and a health-based diet, how would I know if I'm aiming or more so aligned with eating a health-based or, you know, a health-based lifestyle?
Well, great. I think for everybody, wherever you're at right now, is the first step that anybody has to do is you have to take account of where you are right now, because, you know, everybody listening to this is going to be some range of the spectrum from, you know, almost dead to like totally vibrantly alive, if you look at two extremes. And I sometimes use extremes to illustrate points. Now, most people are going to fall within the bell curve of that. And almost no one is entirely happy with how they look or how they feel. So that's step number one. Step number two is the images that you're shooting for your ideal of what I would call cosmetic health? And what I mean by cosmetic health or cosmetic fitness is, are you gunning for a particular physical look? And if you are, if that's your motivation, the next question you're going to say is, what are you doing on a daily basis in order to achieve that? Are you starving yourself excessively? Are you relying on medications or drugs to perform at that level? Are you feeling tired and drained? How is your social lives? These type of things, we have to take stock of our lifestyle. And, you know, as you know, if someone who's competed is, and you know, and most of the people that don on the covers of, you know, magazines or inside of the social media posts or that sort of thing, who have achieved that kind of like dreamed of external look, most of those people have been, you know, sacrificing virtually all these other areas of life to achieve that cosmetic ideal. And they're going to leverage that into a business of some sort, or whether that's adulation of followers or whether they actually turn that into a commercial entity. And it's easy to fall into it. It's glamorous. It looks attractive. And the bottom line is, oftentimes in pursuit of that, we start having these little signs. You know, it might be joint pain, it might be brain fog, it might be feeling tired all the time, it might be challenges in our personal relationships. It could be, you know, skin conditions that need to be covered up. Those are always good signs. It could be digestive issues that come forth from extreme dieting or very large swings in weight gain and weight loss. And then, of course, the associative emotional imbalances that oftentimes come with that as we peg all of our stock on an idea that may not be in our best interest.
Those are such great tips. So I'm curious, like when it comes to this concept of being stressed, how does this play a role with those, you know, when you're taking stock?
You know, this is a great question. And I'm going to share with you something that I learned from the doctor that helped me pull out of that massive weight gain. Now, keep in mind, I had been working with the number one coach in the world in my particular sports. I'd been training and preparing for 16 years before that. I had total Spartan light diet regimen. I was in single digit body fats. Like I, by all standards, I'd achieved that idea. And that set me up for the, you know, that 42 pound weight gain and, you know, all the negative that came with it. And the doctor said to me, I said, what happened? How is this possible? I'm supposed to be doing everything right. And he looked at me and he says, well, Wade, you learned how to build the body from the outside in. You haven't learned to build the body from the inside out. Now, that was very powerful and it hit me from a ton of bricks because I realized the whole function of my life was based on an externalization, not on an internal reality. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. So if you're in a crisis, that can be the best thing happening to you right now, whether that's a big weight gain or just not feeling your best, doesn't matter, whatever that point is, it's an opportunity to go within. Now, stress, to talk to your topic that you're referring to, people have to recognize that without stress, we would be dead. The question is how much stress you can handle without feeling stress. And typically, the healthier you are, the more vibrant you are, the more access to life force or vitality that you have, the more easily you can handle quote unquote stress. So it's not so much that we want to reduce the stress in our lives, because if you want to perform, if you want to be at your best, there's a certain amount of stress that goes with it. What I encourage your listeners to consider is, how do I build up my system, particularly so I can handle the stress that I'm demanding out of my life. So as opposed to saying, hey, I need to slow down, it's like, how do I power up internally to handle those external stressors?
I love that. There was a kinesiologist that I saw back in 2009. And one of the things that he had done with me is he was like, well, if we're capable of controlling what we're inputting into your body, it's going to help you then be able to handle everything else going on externally around you. Because, you know, externally, things are out of our control. So yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the other thing is too, is people have to look at something, you know, if you just do a little walk down history. I mean, 75 years ago, the World Health Organization recommended that the average person walk 20 miles a day for health. I know there's people that don't walk 20 miles in a year, you know, or a month even. Wow. And so if you look at the physical stress, the toil of much of the uncertainty of the human condition throughout human history, you know, starvation was a big factor. Long working hours, grueling conditions, no power, no electricity, none of the advents of healthcare. Life was incredibly stressful for humans. If anything, I think that we've gotten soft. I think that our sedentary city-based lifestyles have weakened us. I think the food that we're choosing has weakened us. And I think our overstimulation by digital media is a way that is really compromising people and warping what's really required of the human condition.
That's a really fascinating idea. And I'm actually really happy you brought that up because it's kind of a, you know, it's another way to look at life and zoom out a little bit. So what would you recommend for somebody? Like to get tougher?
Well, first and foremost, I think number one is people have to understand what is currently happening in the world today. Right now, we are subjected to the greatest speed of change in the history of humanity. So life was pretty similar up to maybe the 1600s. It started to change with the scientific revolution. And then by the 1900s, we saw this massive revolution. And then just in the last 20 years, we've seen the info technology revolution. And people are now become basically Borgs. We're hooked into an electromagnetic blue light stimulation system that's messing up our circadian rhythms. We're spending more time connected, but less time emotionally connected to, you know, our fellow human beings. And we're kind of buying into a lot of what I would say external motivators that are not in our best interest, whether that's emotionally, psychologically, or physically. And these factors are making us feel stressed. What we're thinking of as stressed is really a cry from our body saying, hey, you know what? Turn off your phone, go for a walk, stop texting and reach out and go meet your friends and you know, hug them, walk with them, talk with them in person and get that physical connection. And it's amazing how rejuvenating just a few things like that are. And then the second thing is let's look at the food supply that we currently have and recognize that what we qualify as food is completely enzyme deficient. It's been sterilized. It's had chemical additives of herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, dyes, preservatives, none of which advance the health of our systems. And if you constantly bombard our inners with that and our externals with this kind of what I would call digital information diet, that is wonderful from a learning perspective. But if we don't have a management system in place for it, we now become paralyzed from something that has really advanced humanity in a lot of ways. And so I don't think as a species we've really found that balance yet. And I'm hopeful that over the next 10 to 20 years, we do find a healthy way to interact with all the technological advantages that we do have, while not forgetting that, hey, you know what? We are humans. We have these incredible physical bodies that have some specific requirements that are largely in part being omitted by the general experts in the industry.
Yeah. So in your terms, what would be an ideal balance?
Well, I think first and foremost that every person has got to realize that the number one thing that people can do in order to change their life is deep breathing. It costs nothing. Nobody talks about it. But the bottom line is we spend a lot of time sitting. And the reality is you get about 30% of the oxygen to your body. You know, you can live months without food. You can live week, or so without water. You can't live more than a few minutes without air. So recognizing that's the number one source of energy, it's also the easiest way to flip yourself out of the stress response into the relaxation response going by nervous system function. Second thing, spending a considerable amount of time on hydration. And everybody goes, well, I drink sodas and teas, or I drink sports drinks or electric. No, I'm talking good fresh water with no fluoride and no chlorine in it. That's really disruptive to our systems. I understand they use it to disinfect and all that sort of stuff. But the end of the bottom line is you need to drink really great water and you need to move. You need to exercise every day. Well, walking is sort of an exercise. I really don't think it's enough to actually bring up our physiological strength so that we can handle the stress in the world. So whether you like to go for runs or into endurance type training, swimming, whatever it happens to be, or you're more into a strength training component, or maybe you prefer to do something in between like various forms of yoga. The bottom line is you need to get that body moving. You need to stimulate it. And that right there will promote a sense of well-being. Now, there's a lot of things that you can do, but in my opinion, air, water, and exercise, they are non-negotiable. You need to do it every day because life has literally become too simple from a physical standpoint.
I love those. Those are so important. And water is like my favorite thing. But there's a book, actually, don't have it nearby. The Presence Process, I think, is what it's called. And it's literally, I think it's like a month. It's a certain game plan of you do continual breathing for a certain amount of time. And it's definitely like so healing. And it's, as you mentioned, just breathing deeply. Like who would think, you know?
It's what I call the elusive obvious. It's so simple that people don't recognize its power. And just so you know, breathing is the one thing that you do unconsciously and consciously. And by bringing more conscious breathing into your practice by deep inhales and large exhales, in the body, it releases carbon dioxide, it flips you out of parasympathetic nervous system, it brings up NO2 in the brain, it activates happy hormones, and it has an overall calming effect to what I call a very stimulated world.
Sounds like there's no reason not to do it.
I certainly don't think so.
Yeah. So I know earlier we were talking about the digestive system and stress. And so I would love to talk a little bit more as to what happens with the two.
Well, this is a great title and it's something that's really important. I'm going to give you some statistics that are frightening, but enlightening. And that is 12% of the hospital visits today, emergency hospital visits, are related to gastrointestinal related illness. Okay. Think about that. Like over 1 in 10 people go into the hospitals because something's wrong with their digestive system. Second of all, just under one third of Americans on any given day are suffering from some form of digestive discomfort. Now, the digestive system is the first pathway that you actually convert the food that you eat into energy units and building blocks. And there is a specific process that happens. Now, here's the thing. Because we're eating on the move, because we're eating in front of screens, because we're eating sitting at our desk, this is very unnatural for the human organism. And we are often eating in a state of fight or flight. Plus, we're eating a whole array of foods that we've never had as humans before. And so what typically shows up if you have what I call early indicators that you have digestive issues is oftentimes skin, hair, nails. If you have bloating, gas, acid reflux, you have constipation. These type of things are indications that your digestive system isn't working. And if that persists over time, what happens is that starts to put a squeeze on both your energy, it puts a squeeze on your brain function. Oftentimes you get into the, what I call the acute medical cycle, where you're going in, you're catching flus and you're on antibiotics and you're off antibiotics, it wipes out your microbiome. And then you get dysbiosis, and then you start getting things like yeast infections or viral infections or all these other things that kind of compound. And it all starts in the digestive system because it's a single canal from your mouth to your anus. And the reality is you can eat food, but it has to go through a conversion process. And for the most part, I believe that most people living in the Western world or the modern world have a compromised digestive system for three specific reasons. You can write these down if you're listening. Number one, we eat a completely enzyme deficient diet. Enzymes are responsible for everything from thinking to blinking. There's 25,000 chemical processes. Every species on the planet eats its food in a live, raw state, except humans, which cook our foods. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or whatever, but the reality is we don't get the enzymes in it. And it's responsible for so many things. Second thing, low hydrochloric acid. That's as a result of aging. Usually by 30 and 40, we don't produce as much as we could. Second thing, if you are in a fight or flight response, that affects how much hydrochloric acid you produce. And the third thing, if you are not hydrated, you can't produce hydrochloric acid. So acid reflux, heartburn, those type of things. And then the third thing is a disbalance in the microbiome. You've probably heard of probiotics, maybe friendly flora. You might be hearing a lot of topics about that in the health world today. Everybody's talking about it because typically humans got exposed to all kinds of bacteria cultures, good ones, bad ones, and everything. We ate that. Now, we invented antibiotics. We entered into the world of antibacterial stuff, and we saved millions of lives. But we've wiped out all the good guys as well. And the reality is, if you don't have enough good guys inside your digestive system, you can't break down the food and convert it into energy units and building blocks. And sooner or later, you now run into what I call deficiencies. And these deficiencies lead to overstressed. It leads to disease. It leads to dysfunction. It leads to all the negative cosmetic things that so many of us are gearing for and trying to cover up through the cosmetic industry, which you got to build your body from the inside out. So those three things, enzymes, hydrochloric acid, and probiotics, I think are a standard for maintaining your optimal digestive system, along with the air, water, and exercise each and every day. And if you cover those things, everything else becomes really easy. And if you don't cover those things, you're going to spend a lot of time, energy, and money chasing what I call ghosts of possibility instead of straight realities that will get the job done and make you feel great doing it.
You just made that so simple.
Thanks.
I love it, right? Like, those of you who are listening, if you do follow those six things, your whole entire life is going to change. So another question for you, because I know you're an expert in this topic and I've been so eager to ask you this question because I was really just curious of your perspective on it. There's this whole concept, or I guess I've really been questioning this ever since I competed and my whole journey. But when it comes to this animal protein, plant protein, et cetera, what is really necessary in order to build lean muscle?
Great question. And I'm going to answer this. It's going to be surprising. For those who don't know, I was one of the few people that actually competed at the World Championships, Mr. Universe, and these type of things a couple of times. I came back in 07 after I figured all this stuff out and did better. And I did it on 85 grams of protein a day. And that was a guy at 200 pounds training 4 hours a day. And you go, well, how is that possible? Well, it's not how much protein you eat. It's how much you digest, absorb, and utilize. And that's going to be determined by how well your, number one, is your diet suited for your genetics and epigenetics. Number two, how well your diet is suited for your lifestyle. And number three, which may be the most important, is how functional is your digestive system while you're eating or at now on a whole. And the reality is I went through a performance-based diet that compromised the diet. I was back in the old days where it was 1 gram per pound of body weight. And I'll tell you what the advantage of that is. There is an advantage to a high-protein diet, and that is satiety. It keeps you full. And by keeping you full, people tend to eat less or less calories. The other thing is to digest protein, it costs a lot of metabolic energy. So your body has to spend a lot of energy to digest. I mean, anybody can realize that. You can go out and have a steak, and a steak takes a lot more effort to digest than, say, a mango. Okay? And everything's kind of in a range there. And the reality is here's a person, and I lived it, I proved it, no drugs, no chemical agents, anything like that. I was able to compete as a bodybuilder on 85 grams of protein a day, but I was taking enzymes, I was taking probiotics, and I was ensuring that I had enough hydrochloric acid in my body in order to get all of the protein that I was consuming to support my workouts. So the reality is you need to get specific with yourself. I highly recommend getting a naturopathic doctor to kind of really do some testing to make sure that you're following a diet that's right for your genetics and epigenetics. You can get that technology relatively cheap, and that's going to save you so much time and so much confusion, because the diet that's right for me might not be the diet that's right for you or someone else. We're all uniquely different. We all have a different lifestyle. We all have different digestive capacity. And that is the number one determinant whether you are going to be successful on your dietary program.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that because we are all individuals.
Yeah. And without professional advice, you know, even anytime that you're listening to this, and my whole goal of getting on here and talking about it, and I really thank you for bringing here, is to encourage people to get a professional in your life to get some specifics on you yourself. And that way you're not getting caught in what I call the fad cycle. And the fad cycle is you catch on whatever trend is going or whatever your girlfriends did or your buddy did at the gym and what they work for them, and then it doesn't work for you, and they go, I don't understand why this doesn't work. Maybe they're cheating. Maybe I have to use some of these other chemical agents that are going to accelerate maybe my cosmetic results at the compromising of my health. And that's so commonplace today, and it's really particularly for women who have a very delicate hormonal balance, particularly in their, you know, teens and 20s and early 30s. You can really set yourself up for some real damage down the road as you get older and, get past, you know, child rearing years and all that sort of stuff. And I've seen that so many times, so many people who look so great in their 20s that ended up as total metabolic disasters in their late 30s and 40s and beyond. And it's something I see happening all the time, and it just breaks my heart. And that's why I'm here to, you know, sound the alarm and help people get some help.
I'm so glad that you're here to spread that message and really help people wake up and understand what they're doing to their body, because it's important.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I was guilty of this, right? Like, you know, I don't want to discredit how motivated young people are, particularly with so much pressure today in the social media worlds and, you know, to connect and to feel sexy and attractive and all those sort of things. But you have to realize that if you are left to the devices of Madison Avenue, you are in trouble. They are not operating in your best interest. They are operating to extract maximum amount of dollars at you at any cost. And if you get caught in that cycle, you are going against the greatest and brightest marketing minds that are going to hijack your brain and lead you on a path to self-destruction. End of story. I've seen it too many times, and I'm here to tell you, don't get caught.
Agreed. Don't get caught. So, was there anything else that you wanted to talk with us about today on this episode?
Well, you know, I've got something special for everybody because, you know, we have not enough time for everybody to kind of get into all these details. What I've done, I'm on a mission to help people transform their lives. I'm on a mission to help them assemble what I call the Jedi Council. How do you put together a real world-class team that's not going to cost you $1 million, but it's going to be able to provide you the specific advice you want? I've got a 12-week course, and I'm going to give it away to everybody today on the podcast if they go to bioptimizers.com/blissfullybalanced. Okay. If you go there, you can get this free course. It's 12 weeks, literally 84, 5 to 15 minute videos on everything I learned over the last 25 plus years, all the experts, the specifics on your digestive system, the microbiome, enzymes, hydration practices, you know, a whole routine that you can do 15 minutes a day that'll transform your complete life. You name it, we got it. And it's not all about me. It's actually all about you and where I got all this information, assembled it into a systematic format I call the Awesome Health Program. And that's an acronym for people to know: air, water, exercise, sunlight, optimizers, mental beliefs and attitude, education, testing, and coaching. And when you put this framework, which literally took me 25 years to figure out, now you have a way to systematically approach your health, to systematically evaluate the information that you're going in, and to apply it in your life at the pace that you want so that you can reach the level of performance that you desire in your life, overcome the stress response, and feel great doing it without having to go out and get a PhD in nutrition or exercise physiology. You can be on with your life and book it along. And of course, it's easy to do. And so we're going to give it away to everybody here on the podcast.
That is so amazing. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you guys are just as excited about that course as I am, because it sounds incredible. So for anybody who's looking for it, I'm going to be posting the link in the show description, so you can find the link there. But wait, if people wanted to stay connected with you, where else could they find you on social media?
Yeah. So if they come out to bioptimizers.com, you can just jump on the our Facebook blog. That's a great one. Or check in our Awesome Health podcast. Inside there, you can kind of scroll through them. There's some specific, like, we get naturopathic, we get people who are performing at really amazing levels of health or vitality. We've got an episode particularly for women on hormones. We've got naturopathic doctors that come in here and give them insights onto the kind of tests that you can look for. We've got genetic experts about what to look for if you want to really get into your genetics and epigenetics and things like that. People who have performed at a high level that you can get access. It would cost you literally thousands of dollars to listen to these people. And they all fit within the framework that I provided in the course so that people can move forward. And of course, I would recommend that they dial into your podcast each and every week, because you're obviously doing a good job finding those people.
Well, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So I will put all those links as well in the show description. But was there anything else that you wanted to talk about with us today?
I think that's probably enough, because I could just like fire hose you for the next 400 years with all this information. I'm so passionate and I'm excited about, our listeners listening to this. And I'm hoping that somewhere I stirred inside you the fact that, you know what, you're actually designed. Your body is the most advanced organism on the planet today. It is designed to work optimally. It is designed to be able to, you know, go 100 miles a day, literally, to be able to work almost without stop, without even food, for 24, 48 hours straight. You can do things that you never thought possible. And if you can't do it, it's because what you're currently doing is not delivering what you can. And the only way out of the stress response, the only way to not feel stressed, is to increase your capacity to handle it. And that's why your investment in your health will always lead to the next level of capacity in virtually every area of your life. Every top performer does it. Every person at the top of their game is doing it. Why shouldn't you do it? Because you deserve it. And you know, there's nothing more valuable or precious than your life. Own it, take advantage of it, celebrate it, and you'll see that every dollar or every hour that you put into your body will pay you 10, 100x for the rest of your life. So make it a priority no matter what. You must make time to do it.
That was so inspirational, and like, that got me lit up. So I hope it lit you guys up too, because wow, that was powerful.
Well, it's great to be here, and I really appreciate you bringing me on the podcast. Like I said, I'm so passionate about this, and I just want everybody to feel as good as I do on a given day, and you would understand why I feel this way.
Yes. Thank you for being here with us.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.